Trump's new budget takes aim at education spending. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Trump administration wants to cut $9 billion from the federal education budget. That's about 13%. That includes more than $1 billion for after-school programs for kids in poor neighborhoods. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
For almost two decades, the 21st Century Community Learning Centers program has provided federal grants for after-school and summer programs. The Trump administration says there's not enough evidence that those grants have raised student achievement. But Eric Peterson with the After School Alliance says there are many benefits.
After-school programs, you know, keep young people safe. They help working parents and really provide that passion and spark for learning.
Other cuts include $2.4 billion for teacher development and reductions to programs for low-income college students. Michael Petrilli with the conservative Fordham Institute says the cuts represent less than 1% of all public school spending.
Education funding as a whole has gone up dramatically over the last several decades, and we have not seen results improve as a result of that investment.
Still, presidents' budgets are often dead on arrival once they get to Congress, he says. And Republicans facing re-election next year may be skittish about making big cuts. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
American trade is a hot topic around the world today with big potential consequences for American workers and consumers. President Trump meets with German Chancellor Angela Merkel at the White House in a few minutes, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is in Germany with finance ministers from the G20 countries. Let's start there with BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin. Hello, Damian.
Good morning, Mark.
So there are lots of questions in the air about future Trump administration policy, protectionism. Explain the discussion over free trade that's going on at this summit right now.
Well, that is probably the most contentious issue between Germany in particular and the US. Now, as you know, Germany is very keen on exports. And what Berlin is worried about, from certain statements that have come from Washington over the last few weeks, are potential tariffs, for example, of up to 35% on imported vehicles, which would really hit Germany's car industry hard, and also other taxes on imports in general. And this is one of the big issues that they're going to be talking about over the next 2 days here in Germany.
On the same day as this G20 meeting, German Chancellor Angela Merkel meets President Trump at the White House. There will be immigration, Russia, security topics on the agenda, of course. But what is the business community in Germany watching for in terms of the economic discussion that may come up in that meeting?
On the one hand, they want Chancellor Merkel to establish a good working relationship with President Trump. The other hope really is that while establishing that relationship, there's a lot of pressure on the Chancellor here in Germany that free trade is important both for states and for Europe. And I think there's a lot of pressure on her to really stand up to President Trump and to say, well, there's protectionism is a dead end street economically for everyone.
The BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Hospitals in rural America are in crisis. In recent years, dozens have closed and many more are on the brink. Many of those closures happened in the South, including states with high poverty and those that did not expand Medicaid. Now, as Congress works on replacing the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, rural hospitals are worried about keeping their doors open. LEU of WABE takes us inside one of them in Georgia.
Nurses are treating a man at the emergency room at Irwin County Hospital in South Georgia. He suffered a possible stroke.
Our ER is not very large. It's only four exam rooms, cardiac room and trauma room.
Nurse Jason Baxley says though it's not large, they stay busy treating patients. By around noon, they've seen a handful, including a couple of people with broken bones.
We see on average some days that are slow, 7-8 patients to 12 or 13 patients per shift. So, and we treat anything from common colds to cardiac arrest.
Irwin County, which the hospital serves, has a population of about 9,000. But the ability of this 34-bed hospital to keep treating patients in the long term worries Clay Jones. He helps manage the hospital.
If we're not here, people die. And that's something that we live with every day.
The hospital has been in debt. It recently had to lay off about 20 staff members. One reason, Jones says, a lot of patients don't have insurance or are underinsured.
So our emergency room doesn't make money.
The Affordable Care Act was supposed to help with that by insuring more people, but Georgia and 18 other states did not expand Medicaid coverage. In the meantime, the federal government has been paying less to hospitals. Rural patients are also often older or sicker, says Maggie Elawani with the National Rural Health Association. She hopes Congress will step in, specifically for rural hospitals.
So if the hospital closes, the physicians leave, soon the nurses leave, the nurse practitioners, the physician assistants leaves, we're actually seeing these health care deserts forming across the country.
As Congress looks to replace the ACA, Elawani says she wants health care to work for rural America. One way to do that, she says, is to make sure people still have a hospital to go to that's not far from where they live. In Ocilla, Georgia, I'm Ellie Yu for Marketplace.
And finally, the National Retail Federation's annual survey predicts Americans will spend $5.3 billion on this St. Patrick's Day, an all-time high in spending on drinks, decoration, and food. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.